Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Sometimes you go too hard.
No, totally. You totally fucking rash it, dude. I'm sorry. Where was it? Was it at least... Did Gwyneth Paltrow plow into you?
You know, actually... You know, why don't we save it for the pod?
We could just have one real life experience. Oh my God. Sure, Dan.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, grilled potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Yeah. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, where I usually interview amazing people with amazing minds, but all I care about is what is in their fridge. I don't care what's in this guy's fridge, though, because he's been on the pod many times.
Friend of the pod.
I actually do care what's in his amazing brain. He's my buddy, my compadre, my brother from another mother,
sister from another mister.
Jordan Carlos, welcome back. You're becoming the Andy Richter of Green Eggs and Dan.
It's all I've ever aspired to be. I mean, I feel like more or less like Mr. Rogers, like a neighbor. You know how he's like, hey, this is my neighbor, Thelonious Monk. He lives around the corner. I'm like, zee-ba-doo-doo-doo-doo. Gonna teach your kids jazz. Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo-doo.
Yes, that's exactly what this is. We're starting something unofficially called What'd You Eat? Where you and I just pontificate on what we ate recently, and we let the conversation go from there rather than it being led off by a fridge pick. So, the last day of Passover...
It's the last day of Passover. Okay, cool.
A couple days after Easter. Tell me, Jordan,
what you been eating?
What you been eating?
Good question. Great question. First of all, I did a Seder, my in-laws, which was fantastic.
Wow.
Yeah. Or actually, you know what? I missed the Seder, but I got the food.
Oh my God. When you go to Seder's with your in-laws, are they like,
well, you see, we have a lot in common with the blacks. We were both slaves. We were slaves, Jordan. You see, we're not that different after all. Oh my
God. You make it sound like I married into a family of Muppets and Fraggles or something like that. What is that? What voice is that?
That's my Ashkenazi Jewish Brooklyn voice.
What in the Ellis Island are you doing right now? Yeah, no, they never draw parallels between the two. But however, you know, I mean, that was always something that was taught to me as a child, was like the story of Exodus is taught in black churches, you know, in Sunday school. It's like,
right.
And look at these slaves getting out of there, huh? I've always, you know, people in bondage, diaspora, you know. It's cool, man.
Hey, we're the big tent here. The big slavery tent. We accept you here on Green Eggs and Dan.
Thanks, bud.
You know, it's funny. I feel like my Egyptian friends, they have like a whole different take on Passover. They were like, yes, the Jew, they were the slaves, but they were not building the pyramid. Okay, they were doing sewage lines. They were the pyramids are just for royalty to build. I'm like, yes, that's right. The royalty were building the fucking pyramids.
Let me get this straight.
Yeah.
So in Egypt, they're saying Jewish people did not build the pyramids. They just did the sewers? Even the sewers. Yeah. Is a bigger technological feat than the pyramids themselves.
Yes, to have sewage back then, instead of just building a dumb triangle, way more difficult.
It's really hard. I mean, it's debatable. I think Andrew Schultz had a really good joke about how the fact that in Mexico, no one ever questions who made the pyramids. But in Egypt, it's always up for debate for some reason. It's so weird. Yeah, man, I've always been fascinated by that story. But I will say that the thing about it is I'm here for the brisket. Mm. I will sit through any Seder if there's brisket at the end of it. Mm. I'm down a clown. I was raised on brisket. So when I went to my first Seder at my then girlfriend, now wife's house, I was like, oh, I mean, I had to suffer through all this other stuff like huggle and like, you know, all this stuff like like a freaking egg and then like, I don't know, a bitter herb. And I was like, man.
I get it. So the Seder started with all the awful foods that are supposed to signify some awful shit that happened to us. And then you were like, these Jews don't know what they're talking about when it comes to, wait a second, brisket?
Yes. And they make it nice and juicy. It's really good. Good brisket. We can always add a little salt. You know what I'm saying? But it is why I'm there. And then a lot of people there are like, small portions now. I'm like, yah, 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 just robo loading this stuff into my mouth. It's fantastic.
You are a bottomless pit. We all know this. Jordan is such a disgusting bottomless pit of food.
You make me think like I'm Godzilla.
Oh my God. I don't know if Michelle's going to appreciate me telling this, but I don't know if she even told you this. But she told me that when she was hosting the awards, the WGA Eastwards, you and I did a little bit of the writing for it. You went to the show.
Did I did.
And you were sitting in the front row. And she was like, I start doing my bits and I look down and Jordan's just like knee deep into the chicken on this plate. Like just like his glasses are fogging up. I'm like, yo, I'm finally doing the routine that we worked on. And you're just like,
what am I supposed to do? What am I in the Signal Corps? What am I supposed to do as she's doing that?
She has a 5-minute set in a 3-hour evening. Just don't eat the chicken for a second.
It was served to me.
She was like, and I wanted to say something, but it's like, no one knows, you know, going to know who I'm talking about in the room. Like Steven Spielberg's in the room. And Jordan's just like chomping on his chicken.
Enjoy chomping on that chicken. It was great chicken. You know, the thing about it was, it had a nice, kind of like spank to the skin. You know what I'm saying? It crackled a little bit, but then was juicy right under. You know what I'm saying? A little sous-vite. It was sous-vite. So it felt good, man. It felt good to do. And you know what? I was like sitting by one of the SNL cast members. He kept cracking me up. He was there with his mom. I was like, man, I'm over 40. I'm about to eat this chicken. I'm about to eat this chicken come hella high water. Listen, he is who he is. Can't get my head around it at this point. Just have to put my arms around it. All right. Had to put my mouth around that chicken. Thank you very much.
Did you do anything special for Easter? Are there special Easter foods that I know about?
Oh, sure. We did actually. My well-intentioned, wonderful, boozy mother-in-law made a trifecta.
The Jew? Wait, this is your Jewish mother-in-law.
She is not Jewish. My mother-in-law is, she is WASP.
That's right. The father-in-law is Jewish.
Yeah, it's Jewish.
Right.
So she made, she made bagels and lox. It was a brunch. Bagels and lox.
Which is probably what Jesus had on that day. The Romans were like, what is your death row meal? We're about to nail you onto the cross.
I'll take a bagel and lox, please.
What?
He was a Jew, dude.
Yeah, give me a bagel and lox. Let's call it a day. All right, Emperor.
I don't think he was from New Rochelle, though. Like, I don't understand. Jesus didn't look like Nick Kroll. I just don't think that's what Jesus looked like.
Take me to Bonnie Greengrass. Let's get a bagel and lox.
Anyway, we had that. And right. Then also it's Easter. So we had a whole chicken. that was the Easter.
Does that relate to the egg? Like the chicken and the egg, the Easter egg?
I think so. I mean, it's more of a pagan tradition, but she's like, for Easter, you're going to have a whole bird. So it's like, all right. Oh, but we did have matzo ball soup as well. This is really paint by numbers and it's feeling kind of offensive.
No, I'm telling you, this is all part of Jesus's death row meal. It's like, get me a bagel and lox. All right, Jesus. It's going to take a while for us to get that. Okay, but you're not going to like the second part. Can I get a matzo ball soup? Jesus Christ. That's where the expression came from, because he kept asking for more and more things on his death row meal. And like, Jesus Christ, he wants a knish now?
He's killing us. So actually before that, we had gefilte.
Wow.
This is gefilte. And a gefilte with a bit of applesauce and things like that. But
homemade gefilte or like
gefilte with jarred stuff? No, it's jarred gefilte, just kind of like a reconstituted. Looks like somebody threw up a crab cake or something like that.
Yeah, it never goes bad. Like, I feel like the Israeli army, there's like gefilte fish in their like survival backpacks, like in case of emergency. Like, it's just never going to rot.
You mean like astronaut gefilte fish? It's like, it's dried.
Freeze dried gefilte fish.
You just add water. And you can do that with your spit. It's fine.
So you guys had this very Jewish, it sounds, Easter brunch.
Yeah, we did. And then, but chicken was like the Christian part. And then there was a bit of a Ramadan touch because...
What, you like didn't eat? You intermittent fasted?
I guess. We had, what did we have?
Dates? Dates are like the...
A bit of couscous too. I mean, it was just the trifecta. And I was like, I'm here for it. I'm hungry.
Wait, was that real? Was the couscous actually there to commemorate Ramadan? Do you have like a, you know how, what I mean, I have a white person inclusive, just everyone is welcome.
There's a bit of that. There's a bit of that.
Really? Yeah.
It was a Neapolitan, if you will.
Oh man, I love.
Yeah, little ice cream here, little Neapolitan, little strawberry, little vanilla, little
yeah,
everything. Yeah, yeah, it was thrown in. It was the Putinesca of cultural exchanges.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever been to an Easter brunch, but I know that the WASPs they know how to throw a good brunch.
Oh, they love a good brunch.
They have those like you know when like a steakhouse has like a Sunday brunch and it's like ooh, these like WASPs with their like red noses because they drink a lot and they're just like in their golf clothes and they're just like filling up a plate with like shrimp cocktail and
oh yeah,
you know, like
Trump's there, he says hello, he's like, hey everybody, have you gone to the omelet station? It's crazy. No, I know exactly what you mean.
Yes, exactly, that like the golf club brunch situation. The best.
I think brunch should be like a religion into itself, like a church. It is a church. It's a church of brunch. Some people are practicing members, some people are non-practicing, some people practice in their homes, you know. And I feel like there are all these new secret brunch spots in New York too. There's you know, Frida's wife, Jack. Somebody's wife.
Jack's wife, Frida.
Jack's wife, Frida. Say it again.
Jack's wife, Frida.
Jack's wife, Frida.
Yeah.
Now, these freedom fighters, they love to go and line up at 5 a.m. for a little Frida action. Or like Le Portement 4F. They like to stand in line at 5 a.m. for that crap.
It's funny. I do treat more, brunch yeah, like a religion, because for me, it's like I'm not very religious. I'm not a brunch person. I don't love brunch. A lot of times I talk shit about brunch. Ooh. I rarely go. But when I do go, I'm like, huh. It wasn't awful. It wasn't that bad. It's like how I feel about synagogue. It's like, oh, well, actually, okay. I don't know that I need to come back, but yeah.
Well, it can be a moment. It's for a lot of people, it's like cultural, right? Like you're kind of having your little mimosas. You're catching up with friends. You're talking shit. It's great.
I've never had a mimosa that I liked more than just a glass of champagne. There, shots fired.
Give
me fucking champagne. Why do I have to mix it? And I'll have the orange juice on the side.
I feel like you're always trying to incriminate me in this stuff. And I am not here for it. All right. I do like mimosas. And I'll tell you what other morning drink I like is the Bloody Mary.
Love
the Bloody Mary. Is great.
Yeah.
I went to a Jets game once. Mm-hmm. I had Bloody Marys in the skybox. That's right. Living a fancy life. They threw bacon in it.
Donald Trump was there. He's like, you're going to love this. Like, Donald, why do you keep popping up whenever there's like waspy things to do?
You're going to love this. Bloody Marys in the morning during the Jets game.
I feel like you get like, what is that brand? Serre, C-E-R-E. You get like those like kind of like fancy ass, like, who wants peach juice? And then mix that with some bubbly. Would you do that? Is that you?
I know what you're talking about. No, yeah. I don't like mixing anything with bubbly, man. I like it on its own. I don't like a Kir Royale. I don't like, you know, just give me the champagne on its own.
This is a hot take.
Although I will say, I'm also very particular about my Bloody Marys in that, like, I want that to be a fresh, homemade Bloody Mary mix. The store-bought stuff, never good. A nice fresh one? Give Daddy a little horseradish? Put some accoutrements on top of that, just like stab one of those like skewer with yeah, 35 different pickled whatever,
and then you're just soaking that vodka up all day. It's nice. It's hot. Your body's like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, huh? At 1 p.m you're like, what have you done? I don't know if I'm going to bed or waking up or hungover or tomato juice,
the creases of your eyes hurt. Yeah, totally.
What can you explain to me the alliance of tomato juice makers and airlines? And why does people only drink tomato juice on airlines? What is it about being 20,000 feet up in the air in a steel tube that makes people fucking crave two things, tomato juice and ginger ale. The tomato juice, ginger ale lobby, they were like, we got, guys, we're not going to make it out in these stores on land. We got to reach for the skies and stay the fuck up there. And they did it. Why is that?
I don't know why it's appropriate to have tomato juice in flight other than I was like, when I used to order it when I was a kid, and same. I was like, yeah, I was like, give me some cold tomato soup. And they're like, right away. Right away, young man.
You've come to the right place. United Airlines flight 384. We got you, bro. You want some gazpacho? We got gazpacho.
Oh my God. You going to your cousin's wedding? His third? Here we go, bud. Don't you worry about it, little man. Yeah, man, I tow up some Seder stuff. What about you? And now, your Seder is not Ashkenazi.
Right.
Your Seder, of course, is Sephardic.
Yeah.
Sephardic.
Sephardic, yeah.
So take us on a Sephardic safari and tell us what you ate.
Well, it's interesting. You know, our food culture is way better than the Ashkis. And look, the Ashkis have their stuff, okay? They win all the Nobel Prizes. They get all the stuff they need. They become, you know, all the gastroenterologists and, you know, the cardiologists. Give us rhythm and give us food. That's all we need.
Wow.
But what we do is actually the whole Passover, even the Passover plate thing is completely different. For example, the Ashkis have something that's just like apples and walnuts. It's like an apple walnut weird thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The slice, it's like a afikomen.
No, the afikomen is the hiding of the matzah.
Oh man, I'm going to get it one of these days. I'm going to get it one of these days.
For the kids so that they find it and then you give them a
prize. What's this thing then? I'm thinking about.
You're thinking about the, it's called haroset.
Harosef.
Haroset.
Haroset.
Harosef is a black Jewish guy. What's up? My name is Harosef. I'm out in these streets.
I know it's supposed to be like the mortar between the bricks and
that's what
made up the pyramids that the Jewish people did not make. Okay.
Yes, that the Jewish people had nothing to do with. We were just like unclogging toilets, apparently, according to my friend Omar.
They were the supers. Go ahead. But, yes.
Yeah, just walking around ancient Egypt with a key ring full of keys.
Long skeleton keys. That's amazing, dude.
So the Sephardic version of that, every family takes a ton of pride in their version of haroset that we make. And it's just, I'm telling you, if they put this thing up on the shelves, like in the hummus aisle, it would sell as much, if not more. It's got dates, pomegranate molasses, walnuts, red wine. And it's turned into the consistency of a hummus.
Okay.
And it is very like nutritious, like very nutrient dense and just delicious. And every family takes like a ton of pride in it. They're like, you think your grandmother makes the best haroset? I spit on your grandmother's haroset. And then like, you know, there's like family fights. It's like episodes of Succession in Persian families.
Yeah.
Just based off of shit talking another person's haroset.
Is your mom's amazing? Is your dad's amazing? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to. It's 2023. How's your dad's haroset?
I will say in the Persian kitchen, it is 1956 all day. All day, every day. I don't know. There's only a handful of men who I know who cook Persian. And the ones who do are like, you know, they knock it out of the park because they have a passion for it. But my dad doesn't know how to fucking boil water. Like literally wouldn't know what to do.
It's okay. It's not his function, bro. That's not his function. That's how he was raised. He was a model to do it. It's all right.
He can sell a rug like a motherfucker.
Absolutely. He's a rug pusher, bro.
Like a harosef. He can sell a rug. No, it's mostly the matriarchs of the family. There are a couple dudes getting in the game. My Uncle Joe makes a sick haroset.
Mm.
Some people get into it, but it's very, very, very sexist in a Persian kitchen. Not sexist, it's old-fashioned.
Yeah, Persian Seder, I believe to be like Seder, but yummy.
Yes, it is. I mean, and then again, after that, you're going to have a huge traditional spread of dinner. And again, the big difference between Sephardics and Ashkenazis is we do rice on Passover. And they don't do rice. They don't allow rice on their Passover. So, and it's kind of, they're very jealous about it because we also like to rub it in their face. We go extra on the rice and we take pictures and send them to our friend Avi and Eli and let them know what's up. And there's also a wonderful dessert called halva that we make, which is made with a sort of a rice flour dessert, rice flour, saffron, delightful.
It's
almost like a denser Jello?
Damn.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And it's awesome. It's great stuff. It's got that gelatinous, saffrony, puddingy pudding.
Oh, you're putting me in the mood right now, dude. This is amazing.
Yeah.
What else did I eat this week? We went down to Lambertville, New Jersey, which is really fun. Lambertville is in Bucks County, or across the way from Bucks County. Now, Bucks County is like the upstate New York of Philadelphia.
Okay.
And it's only an hour and a half away from the city, and zero New Yorkers go there because it's neither the Hamptons nor on the river. So they're just like, does not compute. But it's still fantastic. And it's actually what upstate towns are trying to achieve. But there's just no hipsters or anything like that. It's just nice small town folk making good food.
Cool.
Fantastic. I invite people to go there. And we went to a great diner called Under the Moon. So we got good diner food this week. I love a good diner breakfast, little French toast, eggs over easy, bacon, no bacon. Mm. My son just had a side of bacon. That's all he wanted. And he was fine because he's 6 years old. So he burned like a blue flame. Just like, I don't know how kids do it.
Yeah.
But they eat the junkiest crap and they're just like an ox. It's insane.
Here's a question.
Please.
Much like the mystery of the tomato juice ginger ale up in the air, you know, mafia.
Go on.
How did the Greeks corner the diner market
in New York? Oh, wow, dude.
Why is every diner Greek? It's like, because it's not like they're serving. There's usually like a little Greek section.
Right.
And it's not like there's a tradition of diners in Greece. What happened?
Great question. Without doing any research.
Yeah. Give me your best guess.
Yeah. I would guesstimate and say that most things that people like get good at, like one culture gets good at, is because that's all the dominant group would let them do. And then people turn around and are like, why are you always with the diners? Hey, Asians, why are you always making a drag? Because you won't let us do shit else. Oh,
it's so true. The Jews just lucked out because they're like, all right, you fucking dirty Jews. The only things you can do are banking and becoming doctors. And they're like, okay, this should probably work out for us in the future.
I cannot yes and any of these bits.
This will work out okay. No, but it's true because they weren't, because, you know, they weren't allowed to lend money because of Christianity doesn't allow for interest. And also they thought that working on the human body was like a disgusting, gross thing. So like, let the Jews do that.
Absolutely. And then another thing was like, if you want to take it to like the 20th century, like the Warner Brothers, you know, how Warner, Louis B. Mayer, they moved out to California because there were no prospects in New York. Like there were so many quotas and you couldn't do anything, that these Jewish businessmen moved out to Los Angeles because they couldn't actually make a living. It had been kind of like systematically constructed as to where they were left out of the game. But in California, you could actually do something, achieve something, and create something, because it was the Wild West. So that's why they went out there. And to think that like people are like, Jews ruin Hollywood, because no one would let them do anything else.
So in the same way, the Greeks run diner. I wonder if they were just like, we're not going to open up a restaurant 24 hours a day. And some guy named Stavros was like,
give the mission to me. I do it. I'm Stavros.
Stavros will do it, man. Stavros is like getting all those people back from the old country to come and work through the diner. You know, it's like a clearinghouse for people. It's like, that's what it was, man. I mean, I got nothing against these Greek diners out here. There were no Greek diners in Lambertville as far as I could see. Unless they were in the back. I have no idea.
I mean, the other thing is like, I'm sure it's not like that as much anymore, because it's like, you know, it's kind of like the next generation. They do that so the next generation can do other stuff, you know?
Oh, absolutely. I love a good dramatic scene where the son is like, I don't want to be in a diner my whole life, Dad. I want to dance.
I left the island of Persepolis to come here, and my son become a dancer. God damn you, Yanis! Stop doing this. Why are you doing this to their family?
Can't stop, won't stop. I love it when movies where they're like dance on the table into the street, then everybody's dancing. It's just, that's my favorite thing.
Right.
And I'm sure that happens with every generation of Greek diner families.
And then Stavros disowns his son, Yanis, but Stavros ends up going to the show, his opening show, in the back. And, you know, he sees his son dancing and
dies.
A tear comes down his eye. Just before he takes his AK-47 outside of his trench coat.
Oh my God.
Shoots the whole dance company down. And then he goes,
wow, that was dramatic. Anyone want some extra home fries with omelets?
And that's what they call a Greek diner tragedy.
So how did Greeks end up running the diner business? Well, Jordan and I were kind of right. It's a classic immigrant story of the new group having to take jobs nobody else wanted. The main wave of Greek immigration was in the 1940s. Much like with the Jews, Italians, and Irish immigrants in the 1800s, nobody wanted to hire them for anything. So they took whatever jobs they could, and that landed them mostly as dishwashers in restaurants. The 1950s had a diner boom, and the Greeks were already in the kitchens. When the homegrown American owners couldn't take the grueling 24-hour schedule, the Greeks in the kitchen would offer to buy them out. And so slowly, they went from dishwasher to cook to owners of a huge majority of the nation's diners in just a few decades.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
What else did I eat? I was in this town of Lambertville and I ate a three-tiered tapas situation. There was a big moon thing happening on the street. Yeah. So there's another little spot called Under the Moon. Mm. It's just a giant, like, beautiful old house, red brick house that they've converted into a restaurant because of course. And it was so wonderful. My kids were like playing in the front porch and I was just like enjoying myself, and my wife and I had a wonderful meal. It was like, so we did three tiers of the tapas. We had the cervejas, like, how do you say mushroom in Spanish? Champiñones?
Yeah, champiñones.
Champiñones, cervejas.
Yeah.
While mushrooms, we had the ropas vieja.
Mm, old ropes.
Yeah, old rope, those old clothes. Ropas. Yeah, the old rope, whatever it is. Ropa, you're right.
Is that like some sort of pulled meat situation?
Yes. It's like brisket. I'll do it. I'll go anywhere. So, and then finally, we had the gambas ayo.
Gambas. So that's gambas, like shrimp and garlic.
Shrimp and garlic, baby. So all day.
We had very different food experiences because while you, it seems, were in the Rust Belt of Pennsylvania going to shitty diners in old houses.
Okay. That was not, it's where Washington crossed the freaking Delaware, dude.
Yeah, he crossed it to get away. Okay, not to stay there. I was in New York City for my book release. Thank you very much.
Where's my book, by the way? I bought one and I still ain't got it.
Did you buy one and you get it? Is that true?
Yeah, where is it at?
I don't have to fucking ask Amazon.
Man, come on now.
But I did a tour of very different restaurants from whence you came from. I went to very fancy New York City establishments. Went to my new favorite restaurant in New York, which is Teresi, which is a hot restaurant. Actually, this was a very funny story. I don't think I've said this on the pod. But went and was with my bro. We go to Teresi. And you know our buddy Will, who's the CFO of Major Food Group. Will Nazar hooked it
Yes.
up.
Oh, very nice.
Sit down, and Meryl Streep is sitting there right next to us. So I end up going to the restroom. I come up, and my bro goes, yo, if you were starstruck before, look at the table next to Meryl's. And Jerry Seinfeld had sat down. So Jerry Seinfeld and Meryl Streep were sitting at two different tables at this fucking restaurant in a tiny dining room.
Wow.
And I had my book with me. I had one of my books with me. And I was like, and my brother's like, you got to give it to Seinfeld. And I was like, no, he's like, he's notoriously a kind of cantankerous. Like when people come up to him, and I was like, dude, I don't think I could do it. He's like, no. And he gave me this speech of, we're all specks in the universe. This is all going to be nothing one day. We're all going to die. And I was like, yeah, fuck this. Seinfeld's getting my book. So I got up and took the book and started walking in slow motion towards Jerry Seinfeld. All the servers and the managers were like, take the shot. Take the shot.
You're green for go.
And I opened it with, hey, Jerry, sorry to bother you. I've been a comedian for 25 years. So, you know, we're on the same level. So I'm not just some fan. And I was like, I wrote this book. It's a comedic food memoir. It's bestseller on Amazon. And I really think your wife would like it. And he's like, Why you have your book with you? You carry your book with you wherever you go?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, no, it just came from a book party, so I had a copy of it. And he's like, okay, great. Well, congratulations. I was like, thanks. Can I leave it for you? He's like, yeah, leave it. He's still kind of a dick, but he took the book.
That's huge, man.
Yeah.
I mean, you never know. He might read it.
He wasn't a dick, actually. He was nice. And also, I was like, he was like having a nice dinner and, you know, and I was coming up to, and I'm sure this shit happens to him all the time.
Dude, that's amazing. What a story.
Yeah.
What a story. This is the part. This, you know what? It's kind of crazy. This is where you learn Jerry Seinfeld can't read. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, that's why he gets so mad when people hand him books. He's made it this far.
Went to Teresi, fantastic meal at Teresi. After that, the next day, went to Estella.
Your favorite.
My favorite. Went there just for drinks and apps, and then had dinner at, what's it called? Minetta Tavern. Minetta Tavern, where you take your side piece, where you don't want your wife to find you. You know what I mean? It's totally a take your side piece place.
Your guma. You take your guma?
Take a guma. They are very attentive in the Keith McNally group. I'm on the, you know, they have a list. They have the A list, the double A list, and the triple A list. Okay? Dana Dude's on the double A. I'm on the double A.
All right. Like the battery, bro.
They somehow knew that I had a book come out. Gave us champagne when we got in. Just good service. Fantastic service.
Amazing.
The food was awesome. Just a wonderful experience. His restaurants are great. Keith McNally knows how to fucking run a restaurant.
I will say Keith McNally knows how to run a restaurant. You know how to run. You know who knows how to run one better? His ex-wife.
She still has the Odeon. Is that right?
Odeon and Cafe Clooney, which are kind of better experiences.
Really?
To me. Yeah, I kind of like them.
Is Clooney still open?
Yeah, very much so.
Oh, I haven't
so
been.
So nice. Yeah.
In a long, it's a beautiful, it's on a beautiful corner in the West Village.
Come on now.
Yeah. It's very, very pretty.
It's like a storybook corner. It's very, very cute, very quaint. Just had a nice power lunch there.
Mm.
I was like, why don't we meet at Cafe Clooney? The person was like, oh my God, is this something out of a goddamn film? I'm like, it is. And I snapped and everything went into black and white. It was crazy.
So was this power lunch something that you were paying for or the other person was paying for?
The other person paid for it. I was so excited. Ooh,
that's good. I literally have a list on my phone of restaurants for when other people are paying that I want to go to.
Like what?
I think I've said this story before, dude, but my agent was like, hey, Dan, I want to take... My agent's like, he's not a foodie. He doesn't really understand food. But he's like, hey, I'd love to take you out for lunch. I'm like, great. Let's meet at Sushi Kama in West Hollywood. He's like, okay, yeah, I love sushi. Dude, it's like a $300 a person omakase, and they don't even like say the price on the menu, and we're eating, and like he doesn't even know he's like taking a sushi,
no.
Like dipping it in the spicy sauces and this and that. He's like, yeah, this is good. It's not as good as
Panda like, Express, but goddamn.
This ain't no volcano sushi, but it's pretty good. And the bill came, and he's like, what the fuck? I'm like, thank you for being my agent. I just got my 10% back from you.
Link-a-dink, dink. You know, it's so crazy. Dude, I'm going to tell you the weirdest meal I've had, but up to us speaking. You ready for it?
Yes.
Craft Services, Crafty Table, shooting a commercial this week with one Rob Gronkowski. Of Patriots and a little Tampa Bay fan.
To my fans, you have to let them know we are not a sport watching fandom.
Oh,
we know every chef in every restaurant, but we do not know.
Oh, dear God,
Gronkowski.
Gronkowski was the sous chef to Tom Brady's head chef. Is
there
that is that helpful? Okay,
thank you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. Oh my God. So anyway, we were shooting this commercial, and it was like a fever dream. There was like a thoroughbred horse on a stage in Newark in this weird old theater, and Rob Gronkowski and me. And then he goes over to Crafty. And how do you break the ice with Gronk? Yeah. You know what I mean? How do you make a joke that weighs about as much as a polar bear?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? How do you break that ice?
Yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something. It wasn't me. You know who did it? The jockey. The guy who plays the jockey.
So he's like 5 foot. He's like 5 foot two.
Like an island boy looking for coconuts. He looks up at Gronk and he goes, "Are you the other jockey?"
Not bad.
Gronk dying.
Not bad.
Dying. They're taking selfies. They're connecting. I'm like, what the?
You feel left out. You felt left out.
Yeah. I'm like, I hate the Patriots, but I want to be friends with Gronk.
Yeah, interesting. Now, did you have something in mind that you were going to say before the jockey came and stole the show?
No, nothing. No. I had nothing for him. Zilch. I was just like, I've seen you my whole life, bro. I can't like not pretend that you aren't who you are.
Yeah.
But nice man. All he was interested in, he was like, he's like a little kid. He looks over. I'm like, maybe we can make a little snack joke. Let's make a little snack joke because we're eating snacks.
That's what I would do. I'd be like, I bet you must be disappointed that you can't get your hands on some pigskins.
Okay, guys, to your audience, footballs are made out of the hides of pigs. Somebody's like, that sounds delicious.
Yeah. If you did that, the PA would be like, take the shot. Take the fucking shot.
Oh, my God. Okay, so he eats these marshmallows. He's like, they're like Budolicelli's marshmallows. I love Budolicelli marshmallows. I'm like, never heard of them. Never heard of them. It was just like, you know, he's so wholesome and American. I was just like, I've never heard of like Budolicelli marshmallows.
Did you say that to him? Because that could be another move. Is like, you know, everyone says yes to these people. I'm going to be the one who says no. I'm going to treat them like a normal person. Budolicellis? What the fuck are Budolicellis, you fucking idiot? Next thing you know, you and Gronk are on vacation in fucking, you know, Mykonos together.
We're just playing volleyball like in Top Gun with our jeans on.
How'd you guys meet? He told me to go fuck myself. On the marshmallow table.
Hanging with the boys. It's going to be me, Julian Edelman, Tom Brady. These are all people that were on the Patriots, everybody. I'm trying to help your audience.
By the way, you said Julian Edelman, and I thought Alex Edelman, the comedian. I'm like, why would he be there? Oh, maybe because of his one-man show, you want to hang out with him? Oh, no. It's a different Edelman.
Oh, my God. No, it's another Edelman. Very, very good third down back and a great slot receiver. Anyway, I was next to greatness and I didn't, you know what? I'm really good. I'm no good with famous people. I'm no good. I grew up with rich people. Yeah. I grew up with rich people. Can understand rich people all day. I get it. Not everybody wants you to know that they're rich, but everybody wants you to know they're famous.
Right.
So it's hard to like straddle that thing, you know? Yeah. So what I do in those situations is I just don't talk to them. I just didn't talk to Gronk. Yeah.
I mean, look, that Seinfeld moment that I had was very out of character. I never talk to them. I'm very awkward in front of them, which is why whenever I get recognized, I try to make it the least awkward moment for that person because I know how awful it is to like nerve-wracking if you're a fan of someone to go up to them.
Yeah.
I'm just like, have at it, guys. What do you want to do? You want a hug? Do you want a picture? You know, you want to smell me? Whatever you want. I want this to be the least awkward thing for you.
I often I boomerang their phone. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's fun. I feel like we're fun, famous people, Jordan.
You're famous. I'm famish.
No, I'm still famish. I'm still famish. I mean,
yeah.
But I definitely had kids follow me into a Diptyque candle shop last week.
Hey!
All right. I'm not bragging, but
that's awesome.
Little teenage boys followed me into the Diptyque. I was getting candles for my cousin who was having the Seder. And the candle person said, excuse me, are those your kids behind you? And I turn around and there are these three fucking Aryan looking kids. Mm-hmm. I was like, you thought those could be my children? And I was like, hey guys. And they're like, hey. I was like, you guys want a picture? They're like, yeah, it's okay. I was like, yeah, of course it's okay. What do you like? You watch Cobra Kai? They're like, yeah, and kicking it. I was like, oh, because there's a child that is my sweet spot. Okay, let's edit that out. There is a child who can't get enough of me. Let's edit that out as well. There is a child who gets very excited when they see me.
Yeah.
Nope, do not use that. Anyway, what I'm trying to say is the kids who watch Kickin' It who now watch Cobra Kai, that is my Venn diagram.
Oh, no. The circles and intersections of that are just really not great. Can I ask you a question?
Please.
What is the next karate-based project you'll be working on? Because whenever karate-based thing, you're like Orlando Bloom, dude. Anything with action will go on forever. And then you try to do these cerebral things. It's like, come on, man. You just want to see people kicking each other in the face.
Get back to what you're good at. Being the sidelines of a karate show. You know, everyone's got to have their niche. Everyone's got to find their niche.
You are karate, man.
I am karate.
You would be, honestly, I would love to see a show, though, called Karate Man that's literally just The Karate Kid, but the man doesn't know he's in the Karate Kid movie. Mm. I want to see that.
Yes. Karate Man. Okay, we are off the rails, which I think means that we should wrap this up. I want to be mindful of your time. It is spring break.
It is spring break.
Jordan, thank you as always. Tell the people where they can find you.
You can always find me on Spotify. If you are interested in podcasts, mine is called Adulting, which I host with the lovely and amazing my co from Go, Michelle Buteau.
Mm-hmm.
Find us there. You can also find me on Instagram at The Realer Jordan Carlos. You can find me on Twitter at Jordan Carlos. My website is Jordan Carlos Comic. I will be on Comedy Central very soon on the show Nora is Awkwafina.
That's cool.
A little guest spot there. And then I was also on this new reboot of Party Down. You'll find me on Party Down. I have a little cameo there as well. So excited about that.
You're the funniest person I know. You're my favorite person to talk to. I want to turn this into a monthly, bi-monthly, not what does it mean if it's once every 2 months? I don't know.
Bicentennial.
I want bicentennial. Bicentennial. Jordan comes back. I love having you. I love conversating with you.
Mm-hmm.
And until next time, my friend.
Conversation's kind of for say. Love you, buddy.
Love you.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.